Welcome to another edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being with us today. We are honored to have Dr. Angela Glazer.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Major Bowers, therapist with a clinical psychology practice in Scottsdale, Arizona. She was inspired to write the book Overcoming, to share a remarkable story of healing and transformation through a most unconventional therapeutic journey in our current state of polarization. I have often wondered how individual and collective trauma may be instrumental in this cancer. Maybe as Dr. Bowers takes us through her pathway, we can use parallel techniques for collective healing and rebirth. Good morning, Dr. Bowers. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm well. How about yourself?
I am doing just fine. Anyway, you are the author of a book called Overcoming. Overcoming what?
Well, this particular client that I wrote about overcame a history of severe PTSD and trauma. She overcame major depressive disorder. She overcame what would be possibly considered sexual identity confusion. She overcame substance abuse and a sense of desperation. So she healed quite a bit after years of doing great therapy with her. And I wanted to tell this story because I think so many people can relate to it.
Well, you know, there's one particular passage here. Each therapist needs to have boundaries to stay professional. However, there are times when those boundaries may need to be reassessed and potentially crossed to save a life. I did push the envelope and cross some boundaries. I made some therapeutic decisions that were highly unconventional, and yet had I not made them, I strongly believe that Emma might not be alive today. Is that a constancy within the field of in a therapy field, or is that just something that one has to wing?
Well, I think there are some basic ground rules and a foundation in the field that there are certain boundaries that are never crossed. And an example of that would be not having a sexual relationship with a client or a business relationship with a client. But then there are other boundaries that might be considered looser boundaries or a little bit more flexible. And those are some of the boundaries that I crossed in a way to help Emma. An example would be she was extremely isolated, and I think she needed extra support. And she was very shy about making friends. So one of the things that I did, which is very unconventional for most therapists, is I invited her to go to church and sit with me in the church services with the hope that she would feel some connection there and possibly get involved, which actually did happen. But that would be an example of a boundary that typically a therapist would cross, because that goes into sort of a socialization aspect of the relationship.
Now, do we have a large problem in America with that type of problem, depression and all that comes around it?
I think we do. As I'm sure you've experienced as well, there are many people not only with depression, but a sense of loneliness and anxiety. I think those are probably some of the biggest factors that people are struggling with today.
Now, if you take a look at how society has evolved here in America, I'm not originally from here. Where I came from, community was very, very important. Being involved with your surroundings and having those who nurture you. Your parents weren't just your mother and father, but your parents was the community itself. When we hear terms like it takes a village to raise a child, et cetera, that meant something in my rearing. Having come to America, I notice a strong sense of isolation. I mean, even in my community here, I find that people stay indoors, people don't go out there and intermingle with others, etc. Is the nature of our system problematic in creating these issues that are then left for a therapist like yourself to resolve?
I think so. You know, you mentioned coming from somewhere else where community was so valued. Even in my neighborhood, for example, there are walls between each home that are over 6 feet tall, so you can't see your neighbors. And when I grew up, there were no walls. We played in the neighborhood. Every child knew everybody's parents, and there was a lot of mingling and socialization. So yes, to your point, I think we're very isolated in this country and have become more so since social media has taken such a huge role in people's lives. You know, people, and after the pandemic and during the pandemic, people working from home and now not wanting to go back to work, wanting to stay home. And so that increases the isolation as well. So we've got many factors that are contributing to people feeling more and more lonely and therefore more depressed.
And it is amazing. You feel that social media can actually make one feel more lonely and isolated, or?
I do, because I think what happens with social media is people become observers. They watch other people having their lives. They look at people's posts. And they're not only do they become observers, but they also start to compare their lives to them, to the people that they're watching, and thinking, well, my life doesn't look as great as their life. And so that fuels a sense of unworthiness and depression and anxiety as well, especially with young girls.
Now, you had a success story with Emma. Was Emma...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Did she fall into that category of social media involvement? Did she fall into the category of not having enough nurture? How would you look at her and why you were so successful in turning her completely around, where she actually was an executing being after that?
She definitely fell into the category of not having enough nurturing. She was raised by a mother who was most likely schizophrenic, and her siblings were all much older than she was. So she was very much alone. And so she did not have the nurturing. And I think as her therapist, I played the role not only of her therapist, but I was about 20 years older than she was. And so I also became kind of like a surrogate mother to her, and basically taught her life skills that she never was taught as a child. During this time that I worked with Emma, that I described in the book Overcoming, social media had not really taken a big hold yet. So she wasn't so much a part of that process. So I can't say that played a big part in her anxiety and depression at the time. But I certainly think if the story were to be unfolding now, that would be another factor that we'd have to unpack for sure.
Now, you made a difference in her life, but then again, you're a therapist. I think that the entire country is in a severe state of not only anxiety, depression, but trauma. If we're a polarized country, doesn't matter what side of the debate you're on. The fact of the matter is we're polarized. Many are unhappy, and many think we are in dire straits. It seems like we need a hell of a lot of you out there right now to kind of help people along. How can individuals, because everybody won't have access to a therapist or otherwise, how can the individual make a difference? I'm not saying become a therapist, but make a difference. So I spoke about nurturing before. How can they make that difference in people's lives to make it known that, yeah, there is value, there is reason?
Well, you know, you alluded to it before, that sense of community that you were raised with, that sense of takes a village, that value of being around others. So I think it makes a lot of sense for us to reach out to others in friendship, to not live in isolation, to join groups, to join different places where we can connect with others and help each other. As you, I'm sure, have learned by now, the algorithms that are set up for social media are such that if you start to research a certain topic and that might lean towards a certain opinion, you keep getting the same opinions over and over. And I think that's partly why people have become so polarized. So being willing to socialize and meet others, perhaps people that don't share the same opinion you do, people of different ages, people of different color, I think these are all ways in which we can fight back, you know, and take back our lives. I also think it's important for us to expose ourselves to things that are positive. There's a network called goodnewsnetwork.org that has all positive news. You know, people should be looking at those things as well, because the news itself can be so depressing unless we specifically seek out what's good and what's right. So we need to be in charge of our minds and where we take them. And so being willing to sit with ourselves and think about the things that we're grateful for, reaching out to the people we care about that we love. These are all ways, I think, that we can counteract some of the negativity that you're describing.
You know, in my activism and in my program here, we have an active chat. And one of the things that I'm blessed to have is people from all ideological, the entire ideological spectrum to participate in our chats. But recently, especially as things have gotten pretty, well, you know how things have gotten. We've had a lot of, I don't want to say infighting, because everybody comes back. That's why I said I feel blessed, because people come back and enjoy speaking to each other, even if they're sort of going through these ideological polarized arguments. What can you tell the audience which will be listening to you right now, a polarized audience? You're not speaking to one side or the other. You're speaking to that polarized audience. What can you tell them in order to not necessarily not necessarily change completely their way of being, but to get along in a fruitful way, fruitful manner?
I think the main thing that people can do is to be open to the fact that, number one, you may not know it all. Number two, there's always more to learn. And to have respect and kindness for everyone, regardless of what their political orientation might be, that we're all people first, that we all want the best for our families, for our children, for our country. And so to look for the commonalities and to be willing to really truly listen, because you can listen to someone and not necessarily agree with them. I think what happens so often is that people stop listening when they don't agree, and they shut down and they stop having really productive interactions. But if you truly listen, then you're exploring, why does that person feel this way? What's happened to them, or what have they been exposed to that would make them think this way, that might be so different than how I think? And even though I may not agree with them, if I understand where their thinking's coming from, I think that creates a more of a connection. So those are some of the thoughts that I have on that topic.
Dr. Barz, I think that part is magic. In other words, and not necessarily agreeing with them, but trying to understand why it is that they feel that way. What's the genesis of those feelings? And I think that goes with on any particular topic. And I've been trying to learn that technique, mostly successful, but not always. And, you know, I think that being reinforced, audience, are you listening to Dr. Barz? I mean, that actually makes a lot of sense. Try to listen and not create that block as soon as you're in disagreement with them. Well, Dr. Barr, it seems to me like you were successful with Emma, which seemed to have been a very severe case, but I don't know how severe given the state of our country right now. I think that we are all getting there. I mean, I am out there and I'm listening to people with the anxieties that they're having, and not only about a presidential election, but just about people, you know, scared of people. If I'm sitting in your chair right now, how are you going to get that out of me? How am I going to finally be able to live? In other words, people are so darn scared right now to just live. Most people are good. Most people, given the opportunity, want to be around you. How can we just live?
Well, you just said it, right? To remember that most people are good. that what we see in the news, what we see on television and read about in the papers are problems that that draw attention because the news typically wants to focus on the problematic things going on. But if you remember that most of the people in around us are good and have good intentions, I think that will make us feel less depressed and less anxious. And then really seeking to do kind things yourself, because, you know, whether it's you smile at a stranger or you open a door for someone and you help somebody with whatever they need, whether it's helping somebody carry their groceries to the car or opening a door, these are all small kindnesses that over time can make people feel like, oh, we are united. We are one. We're not so different than we think we are from each other.
Actually, I really like that. An act of kindness, just you be kind, it'll rub off in the long run. You be kind, and that is so good. Well, look, doctor, there's always, this is how I always end my interviews. What would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't?
Well, that's a great question. I think what would have been maybe something to ask is, what are some of the core needs that people have in order to feel that their lives have meaning and that they can be hopeful and perhaps less anxious?
Tell me, please.
And so the answer to that is that I believe that people need a core sense of belonging. And you mentioned it earlier in the interview that people need to feel a sense of connection. So seek connection, leave your home, leave your social media, get out and go, whether it's to meetup groups or to a church or to volunteer, which is a great place to make connections. People need to feel that they have a sense of mastery over their lives. You know, so many times when you ask yourself, you know, what causes people to feel depressed, it's often a loss of control. And in our political world right now, we often feel like we have no control. You know, whatever I do doesn't matter. But that's actually not true. So take control back in small ways, making decisions to make a difference, whether it's in your neighborhood or with your friendships, reaching out to your friends, you know, making more of an effort to be connected, I think is something that's super important.
Dr. Angela Glazer Bowers, author of Overcoming, a therapist with a clinical psychology practice in Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the morning and I wish you well.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.